From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, April 16th. Coming up, the fifth and final story in Harvest Public Media's Midwest Waterways series. Today, we look at a river highway used to ship soybeans and grain worldwide. That story coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Video of the fatal Chicago police shooting of Adam Toledo shows the 13-year-old raising his arms above his head the moment he is shot. Patrick Smith reports.
Police body camera video shows an officer chasing Adam down an alleyway on foot, shouting for the boy to stop. After a brief chase, he does. The officer shouts at him to raise his hands.
Show me your hand! Stop it!
He does. At the same time, the officer shoots. Police shared a freeze frame of the video that appears to show Adam holding a gun in the instant before he raises his arms, but his hands look empty when the officer opens fire. I'm Patrick Smith.
COVID-19 is seeing a new resurgence in Region 2 of Illinois. The area is veering dangerously close to triggering potential new mitigations as hospitalizations and positivity rates climb to concerning levels. Bob Anderson is president of OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. That's Region 2's only Level 1 trauma center. He says the hospital is currently at 81% capacity or 575 patients. He says many are being treated for COVID complications.
As we get patients coming to our emergency departments and we don't have patients being discharged at the same rate, patients get boarded in the emergency department, which is not optimal care, but it is a reality that we're facing.
Anderson says ER patients in need of longer-term care are sometimes waiting more than a day to be placed in an inpatient room, and he says those long waits are not unique to his hospital. He says nearly all the patients hospitalized for COVID-19 have not received a vaccine. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is expected to announce updates to a program that could result in more farmland being set aside for conservation. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports.
The Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, is designed to incentivize farmers to protect environmentally sensitive farmland. Right now, the program has a payment limit that some say is far too low. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says he agrees and that an announcement is expected in the coming weeks to potentially increase that limit.
We're about 4 million acres below where we are authorized to participate and to provide opportunities in CRP. It's something that I think we're going to be addressing in the very near future.
Vilsack says President Biden is committed to dedicating 30% of public lands in the United States to conservation programs, and that updating the CRP could help achieve that goal. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Vilsack made his comments on the 21st show. Champaign-Urbana public health officials reported 27 new cases of COVID-19 in the county yesterday. The county's seven-day average test positivity rate is 3.6%, excluding University of Illinois data. The number of active cases fell slightly to 453. The number of county residents hospitalized remained steady at 13. County officials also report more than 1,200 doses of a COVID-19 vaccine were administered on Wednesday. More than 56,000 people in Champaign County are now fully vaccinated. That's about a third of the vaccine-eligible population and more than a quarter of the total population. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported more than 3,500 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, along with 40 additional deaths from the virus. The seven-day case positivity rate is 4.2%, the same as this day last week. Still to come, we'll hear the fifth and final story in our series from Harvest Public Media on Midwest waterways. We'll get that story from Seth Bodine coming up next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. When countries like China buy soybeans and grain, that journey might start in a port in the landlocked state of Oklahoma. There was previously no natural way for the crops to be shipped by water, that is, until 50 years ago. The Army Corps of Engineers connected rivers and made them navigable. As Harvest Public Media's Seth Bodine reports, that system now has millions in backlog repairs.
Every year, Mike Beller drives a semi-truck more than 100 miles from his farm in Howard, Kansas, to the port of Catoosa in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The trailer is filled with about 57,000 pounds of soybeans.
This winter, we took 70 semi-loads down.
Beller's soybeans are put on barges that float down the McClellan Kerr Navigation System, a water highway that connects the Arkansas River to the Mississippi. The soybeans are eventually loaded onto ships and delivered worldwide. Barges use a lot less gas and have a lot more capacity than trucks or trains. Beller says those savings make the six-hour round trip worth it.
The best prices go out on the barges. I think it's really, it gives us a market. It's extremely important.
Farmers have relied on the system for 50 years. Former President Richard Nixon spoke at the grand opening of the Port of Catoosa in 1971 and noted the savings go both ways.
Lower shipping costs coming in mean that the farmer pays less for his fertilizer, machinery, and other supplies, and lower shipping costs going out.
David Yarborough is the director of Tulsa Ports. He says one barge can carry 1,500 tons of grain, fertilizer, or soybeans. That's equal to 60 semi-trucks.
Now, think about a single towboat on our system pushing multiple barges. Let's say 12. 12 barges pushed by one towboat. Now you have the equivalent of 720 semi-trucks replaced by one towboat.
But in 2019, record rains and flooding caused problems like sandbars that closed the port for months. Farmers like Beller couldn't put grain or soybeans on barges. Instead, he had to store his grain until he could ship it in the fall. His biggest issue, though, was that he couldn't get fertilizer from the port. Instead, he had to get it from Missouri, and it was pricey.
Fertilizer's cheaper coming up on a barge than coming in by rail or truck, and that's what cost me more is on the fertilizer end.
Yarborough says it took most of the year for the Army Corps of Engineers to dredge and make other repairs so the port could get back to normal.
It was frustrating because we're at the end of the line and all of the dredging and operations to restore the channel have to start downstream and work their way upstream.
Congress controls the money needed for repairs. This year, the Corps was given $26 million for this inland waterway. It also received more than $100 million for flood repairs in 2019. Despite that, there's still a huge backlog of about $225 million for maintenance on structures, like gates that help regulate the flow of the river.
This number seems to grow drastically each year.
That's Thaddeus Babb, the Waterways Program Manager for the Oklahoma Department of Transportation.
A lot of times what happens is they have to take what amount they do have for this and put kind of a Band-Aid fix on it, something to get it to last a little longer. But again, that doesn't necessarily always take it off of the critical list.
The backlog has many people like Yarborough worried. He says the system was designed well, but it needs attention. He compares the situation to car maintenance.
That car runs well and it's got good tires, but when you put a lot of miles on it, things are going to need to be replaced. Tires get bald, the oil needs to be changed, you need to take care of that car. If you don't, it will let you down at some point.
If something breaks, it could back up traffic for days or longer. Some are hoping the $17 billion for inland waterways in the president's infrastructure bill will help repair and modernize the McClellan Kerr and keep soybeans flowing from Kansas all the way to China. Seth Bodine, Harvest Public Media.
This was the fifth and final story in a five-part series from Harvest Public Media on Midwest waterways. Find all five stories at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 60 degrees, but we could see a bit of light rain tonight. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Patrick Smith, Tim Shelley, Dana Cronin, and Seth Bodine. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.